Good morning. You are watching Deprogrammed. Sorry about that. You're watching Deprogrammed with Ted Rall and Tamarel Thomas for Monday, June 8th, 2026. Thank you so much for joining us. The Deprogrammed show is here every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern time through 10 a.m. Eastern time. Today is Monday, which means there's going to be a special Q&A show coming up at 12 noon Eastern time. That's 3 hours from now, so that you can adjust regardless of where you live on this planet or on the International Space Station, where we know we have a lot of fans. Thanks for everything and for your support. If you have a question or a comment or an insult, direct those insults toward me, not toward JT. Those go on the live chat in Rumble rants or super chats or just regular comments, and producer Robbie West. That's producer Robbie West right there. He will put them in, and we will get to them. Good morning, JT. Hope you had a good weekend.
What's going on, man? Well, weekend wasn't bad. No issue. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good weekend, too. No complaints, as you would say. All right. Oh, I should ask, Robbie, good weekend?
Yeah, it was good. My mother-in-law is here visiting. As y'all know, I mean, she's had her own health struggles this year. She's here with my sister-in-law. We got to watch my daughter graduate on Saturday, so that was exciting.
That is exciting. And
so, yeah. So, all in all, it's been a good weekend.
All right. Congratulations on the graduation.
Thank you.
Okay. So, let's get to it. A lot of news out of the Middle East. Basically, I'm going to go through this as succinctly as possible. Iran's been saying to Israel, quit fucking around with Hezbollah in Lebanon. We told you that this is that the ceasefire covers it all. Israel has ignored them. Iran launched, as JT, I think you probably approve of this, Iran launched retaliatory strikes against Israel in order to get them to stop. Israel retaliated against Iran with ballistic missile attacks against Tehran and other cities. Then Iran retaliated again, and Iran is now saying that they're done for now. Trump apparently has been burning up the phone lines to both sides and asking everybody to calm the fuck down. Iran seems to be taking the high ground at this stage. Also, there's been a mass stabbing attack in Penn Station in New York City. That happened yesterday. It looks like it was like a mentally ill homeless person, of whom New York City has more than its fair share. And then the story out of Armenia, there were parliamentary elections. The ruling prime minister's party, who is aligned with the United States and the West and the EU, as opposed to Armenia's historic ally, Russia, won pretty handily. We have about a 2-1 margin. So, and you know, there's other stuff to talk about as well. And we'll talk about that at your request or just randomly. JT, where would you like to begin?
Let's start with the strikes, the back and forth. I am not of mind that Israel is doing this stuff on its own. Like, I give you an example. When Donald Trump is pretending as if he's doing some kind of peace deal with Moscow, and he is simultaneously conducting the war while pretending as if this is purely a European issue in regards to conducting the war. Okay, is Trump being straight? Is Ukraine doing this stuff on its own? Is Ukraine a rogue actor? Or is Ukraine waging attacks on energy grid at the very least last year with Trump's full knowledge of it? It was obviously with Trump's full knowledge of it. It was war by other means. I'm making the argument that Israel is doing the same. Israel asked the US whether it was okay to bomb Beirut. The U.S. was okay with it up until the point where Iran said, if you do it, we will destroy northern Israel. And so, you know, you can make a case to me that the U.S. is riding a horse and a horse has a mind of its own. Fair enough. But is the U.S. riding that horse? This is not separate and distinct from U.S. interests and U.S. behavior. And don't take my word for it. When Donald Trump was asked straightforwardly about this, saying, hey, are you and Netanyahu on the same page? He says, yes. We are on the same page. Netanyahu may want to bomb Lebanon to the Stone Age, but for all intents and purposes, we're on the same page. I think he's being straight when he's saying that. I don't think this is a difference between, I don't think there's a distinction in U.S. and Israeli policy, nor do I believe that Israel could launch those attacks against Iran without the U.S. help and assistance. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I'm 85% on board with that. I mean, I think that there's divergences in interests between Israel and the United States and between Trump and Netanyahu, as reflected by that call where he was screaming at Bibi and saying, you know, are you fucking crazy? You know, I mean, this could just be, you know, good buddies fighting and beefing and then like it all, you know, like they have makeup sex afterwards. It could be like that. I mean, mostly I agree, but I also think, I mean, so my take is, just to put a fine point on it, I agree with you that Israel's not doing shit without a U.S. approval. And so, or at least tacit consent. And so the Iranians have stopped, apparently at Trump's request, or maybe just it was on their own timetable, who knows. But now Trump's asking the Israelis to stop. And the Israelis will stop because of you.
No.
That is a Robbie.
No. Israel has they're bombing Lebanon right now. Israel's not going to stop.
They're going to stop.
They're not
going to
stop. Dude, they own the American government. They're not going to stop. What? Listen, I don't know what it is that you're smoking over the weekend. Whatever it is, please share. They're not going to stop.
I don't think it's, they're not stopping because the U.S. is not telling them to stop. They're not stopping because it is what the U.S. can say. Look, the entire point of this is to destroy Iran. This is not about getting a deal. The entire point is Iran breathes air and they need to not exist.
I
until
agree.
That happens, or until it makes it extraordinarily clear that Iran can defend its sovereignty, this ain't stopping.
Listen, I completely agree. And the thing is, no, think about what I'm about to say here. It's insane. Netanyahu is the moderate in Israeli politics.
Yes, he is.
He's the moderate.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
So even if he pulls back, you know, yesterday while we were having lunch with my mother-in-law, I was checking Twitter, and they have all of these Israeli accounts talking about, Israel's a sovereign nation. It can do whatever it wants. It needs to finish the job. To which I say, go with God. If you think that, if you're going to put on your big boy pants, go ahead, get your licks. Don't expect to hide behind the American military anymore.
And go be sovereign. We would. But, I'm on Team Zionist when it comes to that. You got
100%. But the point that I'm trying to make is that Israel is not going to stop. They want Lebanon. That's part of their strategic goal.
Yes.
They do not invest hundreds of millions of dollars into American politics, into buying congressmen and senators, and renting a president, or in this case, owning one because of his Epstein connections. To reel things back. Mm-hmm. Israel's not going to stop. And as someone who is ardently anti-war, I hope. And I know this show is watched in Iran.
Yeah,
To my dear Iranian friends, as your fundamentalist Christian friend, turn Israel into a parking lot, because it is what they deserve. It is a racist. It is an apostate. It is a disgusting blight on this planet. It is a pimple that needs to be popped. Go with God.
Turn that shit to glass.
Yes.
I can't possibly sign off on like attacking civilians, though. Military targets are an entirely different matter. By all means, destroy the Israeli military.
Fine. Where do you draw the line, Ted? Whenever you have civilians, you're storming a prison to free rapists who are sexually abusing prisoners.
Yeah.
Where do you draw the line?
Look, Israeli politics is incredibly toxic. The Israeli media is censored. The Israeli people have descended into a level of corruption. But that was true in Nazi Germany in 1945. And you still don't fucking destroy, you know, you don't carpet bomb Dresden. You just don't.
I agree, but that's what we did.
Right, but we shouldn't have.
No, listen, I agree with you. But no, you don't have to delete Tel Aviv to destroy the state of Israel. Yes, listen. You know, the whole reason the Israelis closed the airports the last time the war started is because so many Israelis were running away from the country because they want to fight for it, because they're all, what's the word? Oh, yeah, dual citizens. So they hit the escape hatch and go somewhere else. Just make it slightly uncomfortable for them. They'll leave on their own.
I don't need them to leave. I just want the state of Israel in its current iteration as a nation state to go away. I don't need the people who are there to go away. I just need, you know what I mean? It's like
post-apartheid. Just go away.
Like, have a democracy.
I guess I got to be honest, I'm more hardcore on this. You get like 90% of the population agreeing with the genocide. Many and most of the people who are in Israel are military. They function in the military. They served in the military, all of that stuff. And they firmly and fully agree with the behavior that Israeli military has taken in Lebanon. And they firmly agree with this idea of genocide. Why would I give a shit about what happens to them?
I'm not saying you should cry. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I mean, it is like Nazi Germany. I mean, think about how deeply involved, you know, what is a totalitarian state? A lot of people watching this don't know the definition, right? A totalitarian state is a nation state government that insinuates itself into the daily life of its citizens. It's not merely authoritarian. It's literally like, you know, your kid is in Hitler Youth. Your teachers, your kids' teachers are having them sing the Horst Wiesel song. Your adult kid is drafted. Your daughter is working in a factory for the war with pictures of Hitler. It's everything in your life. So that's how they were until the defeat in 1945. Obviously, as we saw afterwards, the whole edifice came crumbling down, and they're not the same people anymore. I think that would happen also in a post, Jewish state, ethno state scenario too.
No, see, I disagree. I think they're not the same people because of what happened to them. Meaning, it's not like, I don't think people look at their behavior and think to themselves without consequence, oh, well, this was a bad idea. It's like, guys, you were committing a genocide. You guys got 50 million people.
That is different. A lot of Germans did not know what was going on in the East. They could kind of convince themselves, right? Like, well, they're working. They're at work camps in the East. They've been resettled. They could.
Yeah, but the reality, but they knew. I mean, you can look at Strieber's books on what was taking place in Nazi Germany. There's a book, The German Way of War. There's another book where he's talked, like, basically embedded in German society as it takes place. It was kind of this open secret.
They were in denial. Yeah. But they, of course they knew. But they knew, but they didn't, you know, there's knowing, and then there's drop shadow, gothic letter, you know, bullshit. No, you can't avoid it. They didn't really, they didn't have that.
Listen, and someone in the comments said, Robbie, it's a disgusting comment about turning people into glass. First, I did not say that. That is not my... Yeah, that was not me. I think that the nation state of Israel has zero legitimacy. It has no right to exist. I think that it is a terrorist state. And JT, I really want to get your opinion on this. Yours and Ted's.
Oh, and real quick, by the way, I didn't say turn people into glass. I said turn the state and basically turn that territory into glass. Iran gave evacuation orders.
Yeah,
so it wasn't like, and let's be, I mean, and I feel some kind of way about this idea that the Israeli state would blow up hospitals, would destroy cancer clinics, would make people's lives as miserable as possible for
double tap strikes,
and even argue that starvation is okay. But people are taking issue with me saying, turn that place to glass. Are you serious? The majority of the population is okay with policy. And as Robbie pointed out, Netanyahu is the moderate.
Right. And when the Israeli left protests, it's not to protest. I mean, there's some exceptions, but for the most part, they're protesting the fact that the hostages weren't, you know, the treatment of the hostages, and that Netanyahu is not doing enough to get them back, and they want to end up the war so they can get their hostages back. But it's about them. It's not about the Palestinians.
Yeah. And look, I'm not, you will never find me making an argument that you should kill civilians. That would never be the argument.
Right.
Will I care? I'm sorry. I don't have anything to care. The state has lost all legitimacy, and the people, it's not like you get 40% of the people that it's like, for example, the Ukraine war is a really good example. A, it's a war, meaning you have two militaries that are going at each other. B, this is not a situation where I find any kind of joy in this. When I look at this, I think it is as a catastrophe. The majority of the population didn't want a war. The majority of the population voted against the war by putting in Zelensky, who immediately took them to war. This is a very different animal as opposed to Israel that is just murdering women and children as a rule and as the majority.
Yeah, well, collective guilt, though, makes me very, very nervous. But
true. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You would never find me saying go murder civilians.
And the counterfactual is the speech that Colonel von Stauffenberg, who was the head of the conspiracy to assassinate Hitler in 1944, he said he wasn't sure whether it was going to work or not. But his last speech he gave to his co-conspirators, right, which was like, we have to proceed whether we succeed or fail, just so that people knew there was a German resistance. Yeah. So that there can be legitimacy for a Germany after all this, after Hitler. And I mean, that's the problem that Israel faces now, is that there doesn't appear, at least from the outside, to be a substantial resistance.
Yeah. Robbie, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No, because you've both been to Israel. I never have. My biggest weakness is that I'm nowhere near as traveled as y'all are. I'm just some schmuck in the middle of nowhere in Montana. My question for y'all is this. If it looks like Israel is going to be overrun, does the Samson option mean that they're going to attack their Muslim neighbors, or will they attack the European states that do not assist them? Like, for example, would they nuke Rome? Would they nuke Paris? Would they nuke Berlin?
Overrun by whom? Who are they going to be overrun by?
Like, say if we pulled the plug, and the Turks would be the most obvious major power in the area. Mm-hmm. They're the only ones that really have a military at this point. Jordan, they're just there. What are they going to do? Lebanon is a basket case. It's a failed state.
No, they wouldn't attack their allies. I mean, they're not going to. They wouldn't attack Europe. I mean, for the simple reason that the
Europeans. Or would they use it as blackmail? Say, if you don't help us, we're going to take everybody down with us.
By the way, it's believed that already happened. It's believed that in the 12-day war, part of the reason that Trump got involved is because Israel expected it. It's like, look, we will nuke them if you don't get involved and have attacks.
But now, nuking Iran is one thing, but would they threaten Europe?
No, I don't think
with
so.
Nukes? You don't think so?
I don't think so. I mean, but
how crazy are they? Well, if you're going to die, what purpose? The reasoning goes out the window. It's already in a reasonable state to begin with.
Okay, so they're not. They're not Hitler crazy. Like, Hitler wasn't crazy, really wasn't crazy until the last year, right? But Hitler crazy at the end. They're not like that. Their motivations are crystal clear. They're really greedy. They want all of this area that doesn't belong to them around them. And that's it. It's like the glory of greater Israel. And mm-hmm. So it's personal self-preservation, it's power. It's genocide in order to serve those things. I mean, they're rational. I mean, you know what they want. It's like, my cat likes to eat mice. I know what he wants. He really likes to eat mice. It's no more than that. I mean, I don't think they want, in the end, they would get on U.S. planes with bundles of euro of hundreds of millions of euros in duffel bags, and scooch is what they would do.
I wouldn't.
You don't think they would fire missiles? You don't think they would launch nukes?
I think Bibi and those guys, Ben Gavir, they'd all fucking go into exile. They just buy their way into exile in like Bahrain or someplace.
Oh, see, Ted, I think they would launch nukes. I mean, put it this way. I think they're rational actors in the context of that this is not a religious issue. That this is, we want land. Full stop. the religious stuff is nice. We want land.
It's about land, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Iran can't stop them from getting land. But Iran can't project power outside of its borders. All they have are drones and missiles. I mean, really, the only nation in the entire area that could step up and stop them would be Turkey.
Which they've Turkey's worked together to make out Syria.
Turkey is not an ally of Iran. They're not going to go to.
But they're an enemy of Israel.
They're not a hardcore enemy. They just don't like them.
Yeah, that's an ish. I mean, we had no issue working with Iran.
They used to be buds.
I guess for the Turks, especially since they're going full Islamist to turn the Hagia Sophia back into a mosque and all this other crap.
You know, there's
Erdogan and. That's who Erdogan is playing to, is that Islamic, that fundamentalist base. True. So my question is how important is Lebanon to Turkey? Like, would they let Israel take it? If the answer is no, if they step in to stop them, then all bets are off.
Lebanon's not important. Lebanon Lebanon is a buffer state. It was created as one, and it is one. They're not. They don't. The Turks don't. They don't.
But if Israel conquers Lebanon, it's no longer a buffer state by definition. It becomes Israeli.
It's not going to go all. The Israelis don't. They know that, and they're not going to go all the way to the border, to the northern border. Not to mention, they don't want to have to occupy Beirut. Who wants to occupying a huge country, a huge city, a capital city? Is difficult and expensive. No military ever wants to do it if they can avoid it.
Well, not now.
Well, would be the military doing it. They would get their Western backers, America's sons and daughters, do it for them. It wouldn't be them.
I don't think they would do it now. I mean, like, if
I don't think they'll do it ever.
Israel is a country of 8 million people. Let's put it in context. It is right. A tiny, tiny, tiny entity. Mm-hmm. This idea of being able, let's take it out of a different context. The Russians. Russia is a country of, 150 million people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They couldn't occupy Ukraine anywhere near with that number. It would take millions to occupy something like Ukraine. And I'm pointing out, Israel is a tiny, tiny, tiny country trying to occupy Beirut. They had a hard time occupying the south of Lebanon. They seem to be picking their way through it, not this one.
It's about a buffer zone. I think they definitely see Lebanon south of the Litani River as theirs for the foreseeable future. And you know, they reserve the right to come and go north of there. They don't want Beirut.
No, I don't know, Ted. I don't think they want Beirut now.
They can't have Beirut. They don't. It's not good. If I were an Israeli military planner, I would say, why the fuck would we want to occupy Beirut? We're going to be tied down there. Those people are going to be attacking us all the time. The resistance is going to be like 24/7. It's all we're going to be doing for the rest of our lives.
Agreed. But if that's the case, then the Greater Israel Project is nonsense.
No, they can do South Lebanon. Lebanon's been partitioned before. It'll just be partitioned again.
Well, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. I guess I'm pointing out that what you're seeing are expansions and lulls. Expansions and lulls. Meaning they're trying to inch their way into Greater Israel, which means that by definition, Beirut and Lebanon has to be included in that. Meaning either the Greater Israel Project is nonsense.
Southern Lebanon.
Or they're trying to go for the Greater Israel Project. It has one or the other.
Not the whole thing.
Okay, but the Greater Israel Project also contains parts of Egypt. And Saudi Arabia.
They want the Sinai back, right?
Yeah. Well, they want all the way to the eastern shore of the Nile.
That's my point, right?
Like, so it's very low. It's sparsely populated. I mean, that's not
along the Nile River. It's the most densely populated places on the planet.
Well, no, they don't want to go all the way to Cairo, though. I mean, you know what I mean?
It's on their map.
Well,
yeah, but as I'm pointing out, that these, it's kind of like the Kurds, where they're trying to create Kurdistan. And you have to have parts of Turkey in order to do it, which is a no-no from the standpoint of Istanbul. Mm. And I'm saying the Greater Israel Project includes all of these territories. Either it's a thing that they're trying to accomplish, or it's not.
But you know, you guys know how it is in a list of priorities, right? There's like what we feel like we have to have. That's Lebanon south of the Litani River. There's what we like to have. And then there's like the reach. Like everything goes swimmingly. So, okay. I'm arguing is that the Nile, you know, Beirut, those are option C. It's not like it's not realistic.
Here's a question for y'all to address this issue. If Israel's biggest problem is manpower and they have a low birth rate, what would their government do to address that problem? Would they outlaw abortion? Would they start incentivizing families to have as many children as possible? Like, what would they do? Because you're only get so many people coming through Aliyah,
right?
Especially if people are willing to go and pick up a rifle and go help you go conquer other places.
Especially now.
So how will they grow their population? Because you can't kill your babies and expect your population to keep going up.
They won't. It's not look, I mean, think about it. You're talking about like a state religion that's exceedingly difficult to join, even if you want to, right? So they don't proselytize. And it's like if you try to sign up and become Jewish, it's hard. And if you're not the right kind of Jew, you don't count as a full Jew to the Israelis, right? So
well, it's an ethno-state, not a religion, right? So you can't convert to a different race,
but you can convert to a religion. All I'm saying is, this is a culturally, the Israelis don't care about growing their population. They might see it as a problem, but they're not going to do anything about it.
Really? You don't think so?
Well, I don't see how they can.
then why that war with all their neighbors? Because, I mean, you can't have one without the other. You don't need living space if you don't have kids.
I don't know. In a modern high-tech war with drones and everything, I mean, the Israelis have been doing a pretty good job being a giant, you know, projecting power way outside of their, you know, way above their weight class.
True. I guess my thing is, though, it's not the argument for Israel was peace, that basically Jews can come here and they can live here. Mm-hmm. Peace is not the country.
It's the on earth for Jews, by far. Yeah. You are far less likely to be hurt or killed anywhere in the world than as a Jew or as a human, you know, than in Israel. It's not a safe space, whatever you think of it.
Yeah, okay. Agreed.
And I shared some fake news. I must apologize. John D. Cockefeller informed me he converted to black for tax purposes. So I guess you can change your ethnicity. So I stand corrected. John, I do apologize for misracing you.
Dalazal, transracial.
Yeah.
Transracial. All right, let's do some comments here. Okay. Unless Israel is brought under control, the war will never end, regardless of how much Trump admonishes Netanyahu privately and publicly.
True.
You're getting some compliment here, Robbie. Zoya, he's old enough to have a daughter who graduated? Wow.
I am. I'm 49 years old.
You're a year older than I am, Robbie.
If you so, will this IDF merger with the U.S. military government go both ways? Do we get access to Israel's mysterious nukes now? And thanks for the $5 donation.
So, okay, this is not, well, yes, I guess it will go both ways. At the very least, that's the argument that the Congress members are making. I watched the hearing for them to take out 224. And to a man, with the exception of maybe two people, the argument was, Israel is murdering a lot of women and children, and we get to see how the weapons work on the population. And so that's information that we want to get our hands on. And so it is a merger that is benefiting the United States. That was the argument that each and every last one of them made, meaning everybody that voted for the
amendment. It's outlandish as it sounds, too. It's not new, right? That was one of the big reasons that the U.S. nuked Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It wanted to observe and study the effects. Yeah.
Yep. And that's the reason we brought in the Nazi scientists, NASA being one of the proponents or the beneficiaries of von Braun when he was pulled over in Operation Paperclip. No, I mean, in fact, an argument can be made that part of the reason we were so against the Soviet Union was because we were using Nazi scientists to give us information, or let's say Nazis, intelligence officers, to give us information on the Soviet Union, which obviously, if you're using Nazis to get you information on the Soviet Union, it's going to be a particular way. That stuff is wild. The stuff that we were doing at the fall of Nazi Germany was just wild.
Yeah, no, it's true. That would be the right word.
I have a question for the two of y'all before we go further. And this is, I was studying about this over the weekend. You know, Nagasaki was the largest Christian city in Japan, and they dropped the bomb on the largest church in the city, if my memory is correct.
Yeah.
Do you think that was deliberate? Like they deliberately picked, why Nagasaki? A predominantly Christian city, why would you nuke it? What was the point? What was the goal?
I've read a lot about it, and look, I don't know anything. I've never come across anything that indicated that was part of the calculus for why Nagasaki was chosen. I'm not saying it didn't play a role. I don't know, but I've never heard anything like that.
I didn't even know Nagasaki was the largest Christian city.
Yeah. Since the days of the Portuguese, it was during the open door. Nagasaki was where the Portuguese traders were allowed to go in. It was a very large Christian population. To me, it's just weird because if you're trying to strike against the emperor, Kyoto would have been a more logical target than the largest Christian city in the nation.
But Kyoto is a World Heritage Site, and
there was no such thing as a World Heritage Site in 1945.
True, but in 1945, it was against U.S. military law to deliberately attack any kind of historically important infrastructure buildings, and they were supposed to try to preserve those as much as they could.
We deleted Tokyo. Come on, man.
Well, what's historically significant and architecturally significant is highly subjective, but Tokyo was not as architecturally significant as Kyoto.
And it was a capital, which makes a point, right? I don't know. I've never heard that about Nagasaki.
Well, Tokyo was largely destroyed by the fire.
That's the other part, right? The fires, believe it or not, the firebombing had more damage, like civilian damage. I mean, you were basically dropping fire on wooden houses.
Yeah, paper walls.
Yeah. Paper walls.
Disgrace to what we did.
LeMay.
I'll tell you, I don't think they bombed Tokyo because they knew they were going to end up as the allied military government of occupied territories of Japan, and they needed the administrative infrastructure of Tokyo. They didn't want to nuke it and then be like, how the fuck are we running this country? When you occupy, you want to just be able to take over and call the guy who runs the sewage system and be like, come in here and tell us how this goes. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was civil affairs that handled all that. Like, it was called like Section G5. And those were the guys who came in from the U.S. Army and would run these areas after they were, you know, occupied, liberated, whatnot. Let's see. Trent, our other producer, is asking, Israel has mandatory conscription and active reserves. So who is civilian versus a military target? Which we kind of addressed.
Exactly my point. That was exactly my point. Like, all of these guys like rotate through the military. All of these people are military.
Well, what about us? I mean, we have draft registration and now it's automatic. So we're all registered for the draft, which is kind of like, is there really a difference between, you know, you can be called up at a moment's notice as opposed to you will be called up no matter what? I mean,
I think there is, but people can argue on what's true in that case.
So any country with conscription, the whole civilian population is a legitimate military target?
Depends on the country, I suppose.
I
think there's a difference between these guys serving and having basically draft, where all of these, the majority of the population is serving in the military. But fair enough, right? Again, you're not going to get, I'm not going to make the argument that civilians should be hit. I would never make that argument. Because I think you lose legitimacy when you start behaving in that way. Meaning, when they are bombing Iranian hospitals and Iranian school kids, and they think that this is just the normal way of operation, how is a country to respond to that? Iran, to its credit, refused to engage in the same behavior. Mm-hmm. But you can imagine the bloodlust that we would have as Americans in that situation. So, you know, it's like, forgive me for being an American on some of the stuff. When I'm looking at the world, I look through a certain lens. And I find their behavior to be utterly atrocious. I mean, the idea that the majority of the population thinks it's okay to bomb cancer clinics is fucking outrageous.
Well, that's the issue, right? I mean, I think we shouldn't conflate, right? So conscription is one thing, and then popular opinion is another. And I'm like you, more disgusted by Israeli public opinion than I am about, than I think that, you know, I mean, look, you could easily imagine a scenario where a country had conscription, but the nation's policies and politics were wildly unpopular, but people were dragged off to do it anyway. And, you know, so here, yeah, that's, so it's really about the fact that, like, the Israelis like this. I mean, that's the problem.
True. Okay. True. True. That's where it is. It's not the conscription part. The conscription is an argument masquerading the reality of it, is that the majority of the population seems to be okay with the murder of women, children, hospitals.
Yeah, where the conscription, you know, it's easy to conflate because the, you know, Netanyahu and those assholes are popular. People are like happy to go off to war, you know, when they're conscripted. They're not bitching about it. They're not protesting the draft. Right, except for the Haredi. It's kind of like, so that's why we're like thinking, well, they're happily going to war. They're sending, you know, TikToks of themselves, like looting, you know, Arab homes. Yeah, they're having a good old time, but the issue isn't the conscription. The issue is the public opinion.
True.
Okay.
No, so, I agree. True. That's from my, I guess, if there's bloodlust in me, that's where it's coming from.
Plurry Paul. It pains me to say it, but I'm coming more and more to Robbie's way of thinking when you look at the polling. If you so, should Israel be destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah? No, because that's the civilian population. Golden Talon, low birth rate means that country's extinction. I mean, you can have a low birth rate for decades and decades and decades and not go extinct. Look at France.
Yeah, but Israel's only 9 million people.
Right. No, I mean, it's a problem. I think it's sort of like climate change is a, you know, the Atlantic current is breaking down. There's going to be an ice age in Northern Europe. It's a problem. They just don't care. You know, but it is a problem.
It's too far. Yes, too big. Yeah, it's too big.
I think with the Israelis, they know it's a, you know, smart Israelis know it's an issue. They just don't care. They're not going to do anything about it. Let's see. Okay. Annie Anna, Israel will make the U.S. military fight their battles with Lebanon. I don't think that's
true. They're joining now. At the very least with Iran. They're joining now.
Well, not with boots on the ground, right?
Not with boots on the ground, no.
Jay Ramrod, Israel being perpetually at war with its neighbors in spite of every single reason they shouldn't be only makes sense when you understand and accept that the U.S. controls them and calls all the shots.
Yes. Also the blank check.
Okay. Yes, they picked Nagasaki, says Anamo Rake. NATO also bombed Serbia, broke a big chunk of Serbia and created a Muslim enclave in the middle of Europe. True.
Yes.
Catholics sacked Constantinople, during the Crusades. Both Britain and Germany would side with the Ottomans instead of their fellow white Europeans. Anyway. Yeah.
War strange bedfellows.
Well, yeah. And look, the Crusaders, in fairness to their dumb medieval asses, they literally saw dudes wearing funny hats and thought they were foreigners.
No.
That's really it.
No. That's incorrect.
That is true.
Nope. No, sir.
No, it is.
Nope.
It is when
that is not true. No, it was a deposed emperor who enlisted the help of the Fourth Crusade, the Fourth Crusaders, to help him regain the throne. I can't remember the dude's name right now, but he was deposed. They took the city. He wasn't able to pay, so they sacked it, and then they put a whore on the patriarch's throne. I mean, it was a power struggle that went rogue.
That's what that was. They put a whore on the throne?
They did. They got a prostitute, and they put her on the patriarch's throne in the Hagia Sophia. Yeah, the Fourth Crusaders, they sacked the Church of the Holy Apostles. They broke it open, the tombs of all the Roman emperors. They looted the city. One of the greatest, talk about cultural atrocities. No, there were statues and things in Constantinople that went back to the days of ancient Greece. They melted them down for the bronze. They sacked the city. I mean, they looted it. Then they set up what they called the Latin Kingdom. They partitioned the western portions of the Eastern Roman Empire, kind of divvied it all up. I mean, they broke the back of Christian defense against Islamic expansion. And even after the Romans recovered Constantinople in later on in the 1300s, they never recovered.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, though. The Christian, the Crusaders were fucking idiots. Like, if I remember correctly, at one point they were like, well, we're going to march because God is going to empower us to win. Meaning military tactics and all this other stuff took secondary place to this kind of religious belief of their superiority and their victory.
Well, you know, depends.
Both of you know more about this than I do. This is a background memory for me.
Well, I mean, it depended. I mean, the Child's Crusade was one of the dumbest things ever conceived of in the minds of human beings in a long list of very stupid things to do. It just really, basically, the Crusades, and this is something we should probably actually do an episode on one day, especially the First Crusade was a response to Islamic attacks and conquests in Sicily, southern Italy. Like a lot of people don't realize this. The Roman Emperor Alexios is begging for help because Anatolia was being overrun. less than 100 years before, the Muslims sacked Rome. Like, they got away to the Aurelian walls. So yeah, the Rome first crusade was
always getting sacked.
Yeah. No, so the first crusade was a response, to Islamic aggression. That's an unpopular thing to say, but that is historically true. The fallen crusades was all about just trying to colonize and carve up and create this kingdom of heaven, which frankly they didn't have the manpower for, nor the money or the logistical support for. And so it was a way for violent people under the teachings of the Catholic Church to get absolved from their sins by going and killing people who had nothing to do with what happened before.
Including one of my ancestors from France. And he made it back. Kind of amazing. They didn't all, but
the Fourth Crusade though was a power struggle. It wasn't because of Orthodox.
There was sackings of one of the attacks on Constantinople where they massacred Armenian Christians. They really didn't know they were Christians.
Well, that was one of the pretexts that the Venetians used, is because there was a Venetian quarter that was set up and they got special tax benefits that the other Roman citizens in the city had to pay for. And so then there were riots. And so that wasn't a military action. That was the indigenous population. Kind of like what's going on here with H-1B visas. Saying, why are you getting all these special perks? You're exempt from the tariffs. Meanwhile, we're getting taxed out the gills. We're going to run you out into the sea, which is exactly what they did. And that was one of the excuses that the Doge of Venice used as a justification for the sack. So that was an official national policy.
Okay. And with that, we'll get back to the Crusades first. Just a reminder, some housekeeping. So for you YouTubers, it's $5 a month to subscribe to the show, $20 a month to be thanked in the closing credits, $50 a month to have your own private hangout with me and Jamal. So in terms of that $50 hangout, we're going to set it so it's the same day. We're going to substitute out one of the Q&A shows once a month. Yeah. We're going to choose which one it is so that therefore it's just on a regular schedule. And you guys can plan ahead for it. You can come and hang out. So just want to let you know we're working on that. And just a reminder, if you're on Rumble and you want to be part of that, you can go to PayPal, subscribe to us for either $20 or $50 a month. And if you're doing the 50, let Robbie know over at westglaciergaming@gmail.com, and he will set you up, put you on the list, make sure you're part of that. Okay, thanks very much for that. Okay, I'm trying to look and see if there's any ads. No, there's not. Okay, let's talk about this. I don't know how much we have to do about it, but let's talk about the stabbing. There's been a couple of acts, violent acts over the weekend. There was a mass shooting in Toledo, Ohio, in my home state, northwestern part of the state along Lake Erie. And there was also this mass stabbing attack in New York City, Penn Station, where a random person, basically just a deranged homeless person, apparently, I think it's safe to say, who was carrying on, shadow boxing and screaming. He ran up to people and stabbed six people. It looks like they're all going to make it, thank God. But this is the kind of thing where I think all eyes are going to turn to Mayor Mamdani, because New York City is a city that's always teetering, no matter in the best of times, on the edge of disorder at all times. When you ride the subway the first time, it's shocking, kind of like how many homeless people there are, how many deranged, schizophrenic people there are talking to themselves. I mean, it's like you literally, it's your visit to a rolling madhouse. And I just wonder, if Mayor Mamdani is going to view this as an opportunity to sort of I would say, mainstream media would say a pivot to the right, but it doesn't have to be a pivot to the right, but to address this and do something about it.
He should. I mean, especially, I don't mean pivot to the right on it, but use it as an excuse to do whatever policy he wants to implement. Meaning anytime you have something big that happens, you can use it to your advantage in a political space. Mm-hmm. And if Mamdani wanted to say, okay, we need to do something for the homeless population. Okay, then the catch becomes, okay, well, what do you do about the homeless population? How do we get these people houses? How do we get these people off the streets? And is there a way to do it that doesn't necessarily use, let's say, the police force to do so. To me, that's the interesting part of it. If he just sticks to the right, that's pretty much like any other random mayor. Right. If he actually uses it and tries to come up with a solution to it, dealing with, we're going to get these people homes, we're going to get these people help, we're going to get these people off the subways because hashtag.
Keep everybody safer. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, yes. I guess the catch becomes, what does he do? And that's where this whole interesting thing of, okay, well, this guy calls himself socialist. How does he deal with real world phenomena like this? That's going to be the interesting part to me in all of this. That's assuming he uses this as an opportunity. But well,
this is the opportunity for Zohran Mamdani to show the difference between a leftist and a liberal.
Yes.
A liberal just lets it go. And like, well, yeah, hope you don't get stabbed. Have a nice ride to work. Yeah. It just sucks to be you. Hey, I've got mine. I live in Gracie Mansion. but if you're a leftist, you despise disorder and you want to keeping people safe is every bit as important as keeping them employed and having affordable rents and all that. So so he has this opportunity. I mean, look, there's solutions. All these solutions involve money. Sure. A closer relationship to the NYPD is good. He did keep the former police commissioner on. That's viewed as like a sign toward continuity and probably a wise move. She's kind of widely respected, Commissioner Tisch. So he's got to coordinate with her. But honestly, this is a financial issue. These people have housing first. Get them off the streets. I have a whole theory about like how there's different levels of homelessness. There's people who kind of like, there's not much you can do for them other than just warehouse them and keep them safe. There's other people, though, a lot of people who, if they had the opportunity, if they had a home, if they had training, if they had help, they could get on their feet and get a job and work. And I've seen it, I've personally seen it happen. So, and those people I really would like to see put into sort of dormitory style apartment buildings where on site there's medical, psychological counseling, career counseling, and even just like having an address where they could receive government checks and stuff.
Right.
Most homeless people can't do it. All that is really useful. And there's a lot of empty office buildings in this city. Those people need to be, taken care of that way. It's expensive, which is why getting money into city coffers is really necessary. My big idea is stock transaction tax. Charge a flat fee or a percentage fee on every transaction on the New York and the American Stock Exchanges, and the money will roll in. But that requires serious political will, and he'll have to have the support of very recalcitrant corporatist Governor Kathy Hochul. It's a challenge. It's not an enviable job, but he can't afford to let this pass. I totally agree with you.
To be clear, he can't do that as mayor. It's stock trading tax has to be something that's done on a governmental, on a state level. That can't be done on a city level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Well, it can be, yeah, because he needs, the thing is that the governor controls the purse strings, right?
That's the rub.
That's
the rub.
New York City.
There's no way that he can get money or does. See, from my point of view, power is taken. I mean, granted, you're constrained as a mayor, you're limited in your capabilities, but there's no way for him to increase tax revenue, for him to do something like that. Because from my point of view, this is an opportunity. The catch becomes, what do you do with the opportunity? And can you exploit it? And I know that sounds very bad, but we're talking about this in a political sense, not the fact that people were stabbed. It's the issue of, we have a problem. How do we solve the problem? Okay, the problem is homelessness on the subways. This is something that's a big ticket item for New Yorkers who ride the subway. Totally. All right, if we can solve that problem, we look fantastic as the government because it came across as if we found a problem and we solved the issue. The issue is, does he have the power to do it? Which is the interesting part.
Not by himself. No. No, I mean, the thing is the mayor of the city of New York can't increase. For example, there's a city income tax. He can't touch that without the approval of the state assembly. Now, that's a New York issue. It's a New York constitutional issue. It's not true in every state. I don't know, for example, if the mayor of Houston needs to go to the Texas legislature.
I see.
I don't know, but it's a New York thing. My impression is that it's kind of like a very, it's not all states. And it has always hobbled New York mayors. That relationship with, you know, you're like, I'm the mayor of the city, of the biggest city in the country. Why don't I have more power? Because you just don't, you know, so yeah.
So truth be told, he may not be able to do anything about this one way or the other, short of jawbone.
I'm skeptical. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's hard, but, you know, he could definitely use the bully pulpit. You know, he could jawbone this a lot and make it and put the heat on Hochul to the point where she felt compelled to do something. Probably where I would start is like, okay, let's give ourselves some political cover. Let's do a blue ribbon panel of experts and let's let them come up with a report in 3 months and then we'll consider the report. And that, like, that way, if it's really expensive and people complain about the taxes, at least we'll have some cover. Like, well, this was what we have to do. You know?
Yeah. And put the onus on the governor.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
Just to be clear, that does mean starting a fight with the governor because she knows what you're doing. She knows exactly what you're doing.
Not at all. Yeah. So Anna, what part of New York are you talking about? Well, we're talking about, you know, Midtown mainly. And also, you know, but there are, that's happened elsewhere, but it seems to be more of a Midtown Manhattan thing than anywhere else. But there's been some crazy incidents in Brooklyn a few years ago. There was a mass shooting there. The homeless people stabbing people and committing crimes aren't the ones who are looking for jobs or stability. Well, define committing crimes. I mean, if you're stealing, shoplifting, you might be able to be, you know, to have a soft landing. The people who are stabbing people randomly and talking to themselves, yet those people are mentally ill. They're schizophrenic. They need to be treated with meds. I mean, that's just the truth.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, it's crime, but it's crime of people who are not in the right mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a crime that a sane jury would not find you guilty of because you're not of sound mind and body.
Right.
You want to talk about Armenia?
Well, that's not a crime.
Please.
And I'll go away real quick. Listen, if you're out of your mind, if you have no agency of what you're doing, but you can't commit a crime. A crime is something you choose to do. If you're mentally broken or deficient, that's why you don't execute people who are retarded.
Yes, we do.
But we shouldn't.
We're not supposed to. Armenia is fascinating. Oh, that is fascinating.
Okay, hold that thought. We have an ad. Let me read that ad. Okay. Okay, we hear a lot about crypto, but here's the part most people miss. Crypto was created so you could actually own and control your money. After the 2008 financial crisis, Bitcoin was designed as an alternative to banks. So instead of a bank holding your money, delaying transfers, or limiting access, you're in control. And if you've ever had to wait for a transfer to clear, you felt that problem. Now, fast forward to today, everyone's heard of crypto, but getting started still feels complicated. That's exactly why we use Rumble Wallet. Takes all that complexity and makes it simple. Choose what you want, Bitcoin, dollar-backed stable coins, or even digital gold backed by real gold. No complicated setup. It connects with MoonPay, so you can use your credit card, debit card, or bank and be up and running in minutes. Once you're set up, you can even support your favorite Rumble creators like us directly. So do this now. Scan the QR code or click the link in the description and download Rumble Wallet. From there, you can set up your wallet, tap buy, and you're in the game in just a few minutes. You go from hearing about crypto to actually owning some. Okay, sorry. Armenia.
Yeah, they just had elections.
Yes.
Obviously, Armenia has been floating closer to Europe. This is one of the old Soviet republics, so this is frowned upon by Russia.
Mm-hmm.
They've made it clear that they frowned upon it, even though they've been putting it in kind of friendly language.
Understood.
Nevertheless, they've been getting closer and closer to Europe. Now, Pashinyan, the president, took issue with the fact that Azerbaijan beat the living crap out of it in the war in regards to Nagorno-Karabakh. In fact, it was Turkey, Israel, and Azerbaijan almost like working in tandem in regards to military equipment and everything else. But Armenia was obviously the loser in that, to the point where you had members of the public sacking the parliament and nearly beating the speaker to death when it became clear that they were losing.
Like 100,000 ethnic Armenians had to flee Nagorno-Karabakh.
So obviously they lost the war in essence. This created additional tensions with Russia because from their point of view, Russia should have came and helped them. But again, Armenia was getting closer and closer to the West. Both of these places were old Soviet republics. Russia was not going to get involved. Mm-hmm. Long story short, they had an election. The president's ruling party has won that election, even though they got less than 50%. And obviously, they're going to continue their movement closer to the West, despite the consequences that will be, let's say, affected on Armenia for doing so. And the West is not going to come to their aid in more than they came to Ukraine's aid in a conflict. What do you make of this? I understand Pasion has reasons. I don't think they're good reasons, but it's not for me to make that choice. Give me your take on this.
What were his reasons to pivot?
No, just in general, with this whole election and this move westward that these guys are trying to, that he's trying to affect.
Well, you know, I smell that there's something going on behind the scenes, right? I mean, doesn't it feel a little bit like 2014 in Ukraine? You know, like the West, clearly the Europeans and or the Americans, I'm guessing more the Europeans, are whispering sweet nothings in his ear and saying, like, come and hang with us cool kids over at our table. You know, those guys, Vlad's not so cool. He's not so nice. And, you know, when you called him, he wasn't there for you. He was friends with the Azeris. You know, so I think it's all that. It's obviously the promise of economic integration. It's got to be look for the Benjamin's baby. I mean, basically, I definitely smell that. I mean, it's got to be. Yeah. Maybe Bluth Funk says, Jamal, the reason is dollar, 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 dollar. It's that simple.
Yes.
I think I agree with her. Yeah,
I agree. But there are economic damages associated with this move and the switch in the way that they're trying to affect. And also, as you point out, the Ukraine thing kind of looms over this. Basically, are you going to allow your country to be used as a platform? Now, Georgia went through that, but Georgia had enough sense to say, hell no, we're not doing that.
Georgia has far more natural resources. It's a far wealthier country than Armenia.
Agree. But I'm just making the point of Georgia saying, we're not going to use as a platform to open up a second front against the Russians. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get wrecked. And if you notice, they tried everything in their power, including bribery and going to this idea of the French spy who called herself a president of Georgia, doing everything in her power to overturn the Georgian government in order for it to be used as a platform. There's a feel of that here with Armenia. It's just that sense of trying to pull a country away.
Yeah, it's kind of like we've seen this before. It didn't work out great for the Ukrainians, I would say, although it worked out great for Zelensky. I mean, you know, he's doing better than than the old actor paycheck. So, I think for the people who are running the show, yeah, they're lining their pockets. It's good for them, and the rest of the citizenry is just along for the ride.
Agreed.
Very sad. Anyway, we will continue to watch that and everything else. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. The program is here Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time to 10 a.m. Eastern Time in just 2 hours on YouTube and Rumble Live. You can watch the Q&A show right here. We will be here from 12 noon Eastern until 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Answer your questions. Particularly, definitely, if you're feeling generous, that's when it's most appreciated. The Rumble Rants and the Super Chats are where it's at. But we do answer other questions as well. So please come over for that. TMI Show with Manila Chan and myself coming right up. See you guys later. Bye.